power. And that's why I wrote this chapter of the book. It's important for Americans to read and understand.
Who was Canis Atigo, and what influence did he have on Benjamin Franklin?
Canis Atigo was an Iroquois Indian chief who explained to Benjamin Franklin the principle that we now call federalism, or the concept embodied in the original Constitution and in the Tenth Amendment, the idea that most powers in government should be local, and that if you're going to have a federation like ours, a federal government, that government ought to have powers that are limited so that each entity in our system, the state, each state can continue to maintain its own autonomy. This has been an important principle for us to follow. It's fostered the development of the greatest civilization the world has ever known. It is perhaps the single most important feature of our Constitution. And yet, oddly enough, Canis Atigo, perhaps because he doesn't fit the profile of the white, male, landowning aristocrat, has been forgotten by history, has been neglected by history, has been written out. And that's why I included him in this book.
We're speaking with Senator Mike Lee. He is the author of Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. One final question, sir, and I've been trying to do some research on this, and I know a number of Americans have. Do you have any idea what covfefe is?
I think it's a beverage, something people drink in the morning, sometimes with cream, sometimes with sugar. But whatever covfefe is, I'm sure it's good. It's probably something that I, as a Mormon, can't drink.
Well spoken, sir. We've been talking with Senator Mike Lee. He is the author of Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. I really appreciate you spending the time today, sir.
Thank you.
Happy trails. Happy trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at nowitsthenews. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy trails.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319.
Hello, it's Joe Peters, and we're getting ready to start Real Estate Matters. This is my monthly broadcast where I go over what happened last month, so it should be an informative show. Before we get started, they've asked me to play a few commercials and a weather, and I'll be right back. Thank you.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So, today is Tuesday, the 2nd of July, 2019. It's a little after 4 p.m., and I'm sitting in scenic downtown Flemington in the broadcast studios of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Weather, right now, it says outside it's 86. It's muggy. It looks like it's going to rain this evening. Tomorrow we're going to have a little rain in the morning, and then 86 for the high, 65 overnight. On Thursday, a cloudy day with 90 for the high. and on it goes. Looks like we're going to get a little bit of rain each day through the weekend, hopefully the 4th of July, and I'm just looking. It looks cloudy for Thursday, a little rain on Friday, a little rain on Saturday, in the mid-80s to the low 90s each day, in the mid-60s overnight. That's our weather forecast. It's summer. Welcome to Flemington. And here is another few commercials, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
So hello again. It's Joe Peters with Coldwell Banker, Real Estate Matters, Flemington, New Jersey, Tuesday, July 2nd. And it is a little after 4 o'clock, and we're running on to 4:10 at this point in time. Let me play my introduction, and then we'll get started with the monthly recap.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So hello, Joe Peters, Coldwell Banker. Now you know who I am. You've just heard all about me from my little introduction there. I try not to repeat that information throughout. I'll play it again at the end. If you'd like to call me, my phone number is there. I do a radio show once a week. 1 week I do a general real estate subject matter, sometimes with a guest, sometimes all by myself, like today. And in the second one, I do a general subject matter. A lot of times it's 55 plus. Sometimes it's just one of the mayors coming in to talk. Sometimes it's this person of special interest that I think will be of general interest to the public. Like last week, we talked about the fellow who documented how Round Valley was built. An amazing story. If you want to take a look at it, go back and look at my blog from last week, and you can replay that. I'm going to make a blog post out of it in the near future. But today, the month just ended for June, and as a result of that, I do a real estate newsletter that usually gets put out the third or fourth of the month. For those of you on my mailing list, that newsletter will be out on July 4th this month. And there are two versions of it. There's a Hunterdon County and a Somerset County version, and they each go into what's happening by county, and then they're backed up by why it's happening, and they're both important. I mean, it's pretty easy to know that 17 houses sold and two more got listed, but why did only 17 get sold when we have 150 available? That's the second part of this, and it's just as important as the what's happening. So let's first take a look. First of all, it's Real Estate Homeowners Month, and really a great month to think about if you're buying a house or if you're thinking about selling a house or if you're thinking about just trading sideways, up, down, right-sizing. For instance, we're in a townhouse and we're thinking about getting into a single floor because they're both nearing retirement. Those are the people that are really key, because 70% of all people in the country believe owning a house is the right thing to do. And let's face it, owning a house gives you a lot of pluses. One plus is the fact you can live where you want. And when you can live where you want, you can do what you want to do. You live in the communities that you want, you live near the people that you want, and in effect, you get a lot of satisfaction in decorating the house your way and not the way the landlord says it's got to be done. So I think the feeling of building equity and wealth and the looking at the long-term investment value of your home is really a neat situation. Let's take a look at leverage. Now, leverage means you get more out of something than you put into it. And if you think of a lever, it's that. You push a lever and maybe a whole big door opens. That's leverage. You do a little bit of work and get a lot out of it. And owning a home is a great example of leverage. You may have put 5, 10, 20% down on that house, but the whole house appreciates at whatever today the yearly rate is. And like last year, it was somewhere around 4%. So let's say you put 20% down on a $500,000 house. So you put $100,000 into it, but the whole $500,000 appreciated. So you got maybe on $500,000, 4%, a $20,000 gain, and all you put into it was a 20% investment, not the whole $500,000. So if you look at the return on that investment, the leverage factor is really working. And you can get into houses with 3% down, 5% down, any number. You can even get to them with nothing down if you want to get into USDA. It depends on your credit. It depends on your assets. It depends on your job. And it depends on the combination of those things as to how much money you can borrow and how much down payment you've got to put into things. So we're coming out of what was a busy spring season. And I hate to say on July 1st that it's over, but quite honestly, July 4th is the end of our spring season. And why is that? That's because after July 4th, you cannot still buy a house and get a child into school. If you bought a house tomorrow, July 3rd, you're probably not going to close till September. So the spring rush, where we did a lot of listing and a lot of selling, has tapered off. And now we're coming into the doldrums of summer, and there are still people out there. A lot of times, resulting from the spring rush, somebody's bought their house and they now have to buy another. That's the trade-up buyer. And there's always a market, no matter what the month of the year is for the houses. Some are better than others. And the market from the weekend after Super Bowl through this weekend is the prime market. The secondary market now starts, and it runs through roughly Thanksgiving, and then between Thanksgiving and the weekend after Super Bowl is our winter market. All three of them have buyers in them. All three of them have sellers in them. You really need to talk to somebody with retail expertise to understand where you fit into that picture and just what it is you want to do. So, as of the first of the month, we had 977 houses listed in Hunterdon County. That's almost 1,000. That's not as high as it used to be, but we're selling them a lot quicker than they used to be, so it's probably the same amount of sales, if not more. We sold of the 977,000, 184 of those houses. By the way, this newsletter I'm reading to, if you go to my site, jpeters.com, and on the top there's a directory, and you go under blog post, you'll find that there are market reports for Hunterdon and Somerset, and that's where this information is stored. You can read it. You can get a better understanding of it as you go through it, and you can also request to be added to my mailing list so that once a month I remind you that the new version is ready. So 977 houses for sale, of which 184 in the last 30 days went under contract. They haven't necessarily closed yet, but for the month of June, we had 1 out of 5 houses go under contract. That's pretty good, because 4 to 6 is average. You get below 4, it becomes a seller's market. That's where we have more buyers than sellers. And if you get above 6, it becomes a buyer's market. That's where we have more buyers than sellers, more sellers than buyers, I should say. And as a result, you're seeing prices go down. So 5 months supply, and we're in pretty good shape until you get up to the 500K mark, because the under 200s were 3 months supply. The under 200 to 300 were 4 months. 400 to 500 were 3 months, and then when we get into 500K and above, we're sitting of 6 months, 600K and above, 10 months, 700 and above, 11 months, 800 and above, 800 to 900, I should be saying, 20 months supply, and then when we get to the $1 million mark, we have 68 houses for sale. 17 got added last month, and we didn't sell a one, not Bupkis. And as a result, you have a long wait if you're going to list and sell a house over $1 million in Hunterdon County in the month of June. In the month of May, we had sold a few, I believe 2. I don't have those statistics with me, but I remembered a number. If you divided the total available by the number that we sold, we had a 54-month supply. So the average 2 months ago was a little over 4 years. Last month we sold none, so there's no measurement. We typically sell 1 or 2. There's always a market there. But if you look at that compared to the next county in, Somerset County, we sold 26 over $1 million. It's a much more vibrant economy in Somerset County because it's closer to New York. So let's take a look at a few more statistics for Hunterdon County. 977 houses available, 184 sold, and we added 237. The average list price, $553,000, and the average sale price, $405,000. So we're adding higher level inventory than what we need, because we're needing 400,000 averages, and we're adding $550,000 houses. Not that they won't sell, because the market is cyclical, and as a 550 house gets added and sold, probably somebody who just sold their 400 is going to buy the 550. Somebody who just sold their 200 is going to buy the 400. And somebody that's a first-time buyer is going to buy the 200. It triggers inventory below them for 3 or 4 more sales to happen. Average days on the market, 58 days. But I can tell you in general, once you get above $500,000 in Hunterdon County, you have a lot of competition. A lot of the inventory that came on in the winter months this year came on in those points. And sometimes you're selling a natural house that should comp at 5.25, 550, but you're selling it against houses that couldn't sell in the 7s. They're now down in the high 5s or the 6s. They're priced just like yours because they've taken price cuts in order to make it sell. And that's a tough note to swallow, because our upper end market is not what it could be, and we're going to go through some of those reasons. Of all the properties we sold last month, 72% of them were under $500,000. And that leaves 28% above, and only 5% were above $700,000. So we only had 10 sales above $700,000. Right now we have 60, 7, 40, 207, 26, 113, 133, and 60. We have roughly 200 houses over 700,000, and we sold 10 of them. That means you've got an average of over 700,000, a 20-month supply. That's disturbing, because if you're in that point and you need to sell, you're going to have to make sure your pencil is really sharp on your price, that your house is really showing well against the competition, and that, in effect, you are getting it marketed in the fashion where the people will buy, and there's only a few of them, find your house. Then we take a look at the same thing at the town level, and some towns are better than others. If you take a look at the town of Clinton, 3 months supply. Clinton Township, 4 months supply. Raritan Township, 5 months supply. Reddington Township, 4 months supply. Those are our hot spots. They do about half of all of our business. All of them are in that sweet spot of 3, 4, 5 months supply. You take a look at towns where we don't do a lot of business. Tewksbury, never understood why, because it's the first town as you come into Hunterdon County on 78. Very rural, very high priced. We've got 114 houses for sale, and we only sold 5. You take a look at a town like Lebanon Township, very rural. Second town you hit, it's sort of interfaces into Tewksbury. 16-month supply, 47 available, we sold 3. Frenchtown, 14 available, we sold 1. That's pretty remote. You can't get to New York from Frenchtown unless you leave the day before. It's just impossible to commute from there. I'm sure somebody there does it. It's a great little town. It's a river town. It's a beautiful town, very artsy-craftsy. But because of its remoteness, we are not seeing people buying there in any great numbers. That's Hunterdon County. Let's look at Somerset County. Somerset County has an average list price of $553,000 as well, but their average sale price is $507,000, where Hunterdon's $405,000. They're getting another 20% over there for their average house, where it takes us 58 days to sell a house. They're selling them in 44 days. Their inventory's in great shape until they get to about $700,000. Ours sort of peters out just past $500,000. Once you get above $900,000, you got 17 months supply, and once you get into the million-dollar range, we did sell out of 253. We sold 26, and that's a 10-month supply. Overall, 4 months supply. They have 1,580 houses for sale. It's just closer to New York. There's more upscale houses, especially in the Reading, in the hills, which would be Basking Ridge and Bedminster, Bernards. I always say it wrong, and I get hollered at when I'm over there. But the towns of Watchung and Warren are in there as well. They also have their lower-end towns. I mean, Bridgewater's moderate, about 550 to 600. You get into Manville, you're in a $200,000 market, max. You get into Somerville, it's a different market. So Raritan, Manville, Somerville, North Plainfield, Bound Brook, those are markets that are very low to moderate markets, and then there's some markets that are average price in Warren Watchung listing is over $1 million, average sales in the 900s. Why is it that way? Why are they doing more business than we are? They're closer to New York. And there's a point of no return, because you go a little further and you get into Gillette or some of the areas surrounding Gillette, you're going to find that now you're into either Morris County or the close end ends of Union County in some instances, still upper end, but after that you get back to a moderate price point. You get into towns that are selling an average of $500K, and they sell them like crazy. They have 2 months supply. Union, Middlesex, these are places where people very much would like to live because they're easy to commute from, but the price points are a little less and the neighborhoods are a little more dense and a little more blue collar. Nothing wrong with blue collar. It is what it is. It just depends where you want to live and bring up your children. So let's talk. That's what's happening. We're selling houses. We've had a good spring. It's probably our best spring ever. We're selling more houses than we've ever had. Inventory is building up. And prices are still increasing. We're probably going to see a 2 to 3% increase this year. We hit a 3 to 4% last year. The forecast in the next 4 or 5 years is about 20%. That's probably 4% per year on average, compounded. That's an average market. And I think that's one of the things that we're having difficult time understanding is that for the last 10 years, we were not in an average market. It was in a post-recession market. And for the 5 or 7 years before that, we were in a recessionary market. So it's been 15 to 17 years since we've been normal. And during the pre-recessionary market, that's when prices were going up 15% a year. So it's almost 20 years since we've had a normal market. We're back to normal, yet we're having a difficult time selling the houses that are higher priced, and we're out of inventory. The shelves are bare in the popular priced houses. We're going to go through that a little bit. First time in 3 years, we've had 7 months of improvement in inventory. That's good news, but it's improving over 500 when we need houses under 500K. Still low inventory numbers. We saw an increase of 1% in home sales in May, and year-to-date, 3% above the year before. So we're doing okay. We're ahead of last year. Should be noted, that's not statewide. Only 12 or 21 counties have benefited with an increase in sale. But statewide, we're still 3% ahead of the year before. Increases in inventory have occurred at all price points, above 400, with the 400 to 600 range seeing the largest jump, followed by the 600 to a million range. The under 400 range actually dropped in inventory by 5%. If you have a clean house under 400,000 and you put it on the market, that's where our first-time buyers are, it's going to go the day it comes on. So if we find inventory, it doesn't stay on that long. Activity still concentrates in that under 400K market. The 400 to 600 range saw 13% in year-to-date in inventory, and that came on mostly over the winter. And during the same period, all housing above 600 and below a million showed very modest increases, but the confidence in the changes made in taxes and deregulation are driving that market as well. There's also been some improvement at the very high end, but we have so much inventory up there, it's hard to see at times. So at the same time, the number of houses offered for sale in New Jersey rose by 7% last month, but currently is still 30,000 fewer houses available than were available in 2011, which was our peak. That's 41% less. So 30,000 fewer houses than we had 7 years ago are for sale. And 41% of that inventory that we had in 2011 is non-existent today. And that's what's driving this frenzy to find the right house, especially under the 400K mark. Unsold inventory is as low as 2.7 months in some counties and as high as 8 in the others. But for the entire state, it's somewhere around 3.5 months to 4. Once again, 4 to 6 is average. 3.5 to 4, you're probably seeing price increases. Hunterdon and Somerset County, they had about 8% more inventory in Hunterdon than a year ago and 1% less in Somerset. And sales in Hunterdon were even, and in Somerset they were 6% less. The market has changed from a seller's to a buyer's market in the above 500K market. That's a real shock to a lot of people. It used to be that they could put their house on the market a little high, sit back, and eventually the market would catch up to it. Well, the market is not catching up to it anymore. As a matter of fact, the market above 500 is either static or diminishing. And we're now seeing some millennials coming back into the local areas, but they're not the ones that left. They're the ones that are between their first and second child and are looking for the quality of life, a reason for a lot of us in the last 20 years have moved out here. Interest rates. So inventory is a good point. We needed inventory. We needed interest. We needed jobs. All three of them are clicking. Let's talk about interest. We started the year at 4.9%. 30-year mortgage interest rates. We are right now somewhere between 3.5% and 3.75%. That is great news. And if we do see the Fed pull back in the third quarter, we're probably going to see that go down further. We're averaging a 3.8 for a 30-year mortgage, still seeing them around 3.5 for excellent credit. 15-year mortgage is about 3.25%. And five-year ARMs are just under 3.5%. Consumer fears of further rises in interest coupled with further rises in prices is what's driving our market. There's no time like the present because I don't think we're going to see in the foreseeable future interest rates like this happen again. So people are out. And just let's say the interest rate is for excellent credit 3.5%, and it goes from 3.5% to 4.5% over the next year. They'll lose 9% of their buying power, and at the same time, the price goes up 3% of the house. So that would say that if you could afford a $500,000 house at 3.5%, you could only afford roughly a $455,000 house at 4.5%, and if you factored in the 3 or 4% appreciation, and it's in the price points that the appreciation is probably higher than the average, you probably can only afford a $425,000. So to say it in one sentence, if you can afford $500 today and interest goes up 1% and prices go up 4%, a year from now you can only afford a 4.25%. That's what's driving the frenzy. Job front. Couldn't be better. National level, 2.7 million jobs last year. Unemployment rate, we only had 75,000 jobs last month. It was a little bit of a disappointment. I think we're going to see new numbers come out later this week, and I tend to think you're going to have to average the two together to get what was really happening. We're still at 3.6% unemployment. That is the lowest it's been in 50 years. This is getting a little trite. We're in good shape job-wise. At the end of May, U.S. had added 820,000 jobs versus 2 million jobs the prior year. We're not as good as the year before. And at the end of May, we had 7.4 million job openings compared with 5.2 million unemployed people. You say, well, then what's the problem? Why don't they just go to work? Well, they don't have the skills for the jobs that are open in a lot of cases and in the wrong geographic area. And there's a certain amount of people due to illness and due to other situations. We've learned this in Economics 101 that will always be unemployed. At any one point in time, 3% of the national population is unemployable. And that at 200 million people is the 6 million. So we're out of people. Everybody that can work, that's got the skills and got the location, is working. And they're working at salaries higher than they were kind of at a year ago. Because we have to bid for people, we're now seeing many stores paying $15 an hour. Retail jobs, front end, cashier, retail jobs paying $13, $14, $15 an hour. So we needed three things, Jupiter, Mars, and whatever, to align. The first was inventory, the second was interest rates, and jobs was the third. They are aligned. It couldn't be any better than it is. The rental markets were really low on available rentals. A lot of people who lost their houses in the last 5 years are now into rentals. And a lot of people who are now restricted from buying that were allowed to buy under the debacle that happened in the 2005, the 2010, are now having to rent. So as a result, we don't have enough rentals. But as a result of that, 65% of all the new housing starts last year were rental properties. If you think that's not going on, and it's not going on that much in Hunterdon County, but drive down through Somerset County, especially into Hillsborough, and especially on the left side of 206 as you go down that way, 202, 206, I get the two mixed up. But there's got to be 2,000 or 3,000 units going on down there. And when you rent, you pay more than when you own a house. And if you could do that consistently, I read one article that said the average homeowner at 65 plus has an average net worth of over $300,000, while the average rental at the same age has been renting all those years has an average net worth of just under $8,000. That's a tremendous difference. And the reason is they're not getting any appreciation, they're not getting any tax breaks, they're just paying somebody else's mortgage. Foreclosures. One bit of good news is that the foreclosures, which last year we had roughly 60,000 foreclosures, this year is going to be more like 43. We're the fifth state. We're at 2.2%. The nation is just under 1.4%. And the states that are ahead of us are New York with 3%, Mississippi with 3%, mostly hurricane-related, Louisiana, a little bit of the same, 2.7, Maine with 2.3, then us, and then behind us are Florida, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Alabama. The national number sits at about 1.4. We're in good shape on foreclosures. I think if we have this conversation 2 years from now, it's going to be back to a normal level of foreclosures, not the high level that we saw just 2 years ago. We were in the 70,000 range. Last year, we were in a 60,000 foreclosure range. Today, we're more in the 40,000, and I think you'll see that drop over the next 2 years down to about 20,000. Tax Cuts and Jobs Act effect. This is a political question. It depends who you ask. Some people will say only the rich are getting the tax cuts. Some people will say, I'm getting more money than I had last year. And, yeah, I didn't get as much back, but they started taking less money out a year ago, March. So as a result, I was getting it every week. So you can't fight the fact that we have an unemployment level at the lowest under 50 years. You can't fight the fact that inflation is in check for the most part. And you can't fight the fact that we're paying people, we have more people working and we're paying them more than we ever did. Just 2 or 3 years ago, we were paying under $10 an hour, and now we're paying $15. We're paying 50% more. And I can't say that if you earn $15 an hour, you're going to be able to buy a house. But we are paying an average each month of more than we paid the month before, and some of those people are going to be able to afford to buy houses in a couple of years. In a nutshell, I think the tax changes only affected the upper 5%. That's where they were supposed to affect. Of course, you get a different answer depending who you talk to. And initial findings after people returning from their accountants at tax season was there were a lot of smiles on faces. People did okay. A little more of what's happening. Recap, economic conditions. Eighth year in a row of 2 million plus jobs. 104 months of economic recovery and positive job gains. GDP still rising, but not as high as it used to be. So the curve has slowed down a little. The growth rate has slowed a little, but it's still rising. That's a concern to say maybe we're starting to see a correction. At 3.6% unemployment, New Jersey is now near the national average. And I do not believe, and throw something at me if you don't agree, that we did anything really wonderful in New Jersey. I think New Jersey benefited from the fact that the nation is in good shape. And all boats rise with the tide, and I think the tide helped New Jersey. In this case, it lowered it down to 3.6%. Best-paying jobs still near New York City. And wages were up 3.2%. interest rates have dropped to surprising lows. House prices have risen around 3%. There's two factors to whether or not your house price is going to rise. One is, what price point are you in? If you're above $500,000 in Hunterdon County, you're probably not going to see any price increase. If you're above $700,000, you're going to see a decrease. If you are in Somerset County and you're above $500,000, you're still going to see an increase. And if you get above $700,000, you're probably still going to see an increase. But if you get into the eights and nines, you're probably going to see pressure on prices. 3% this year is a normal growth rate. We're back to a normal market. Baby boomers who are choosing to stay put and update rather than improve and move up are now finding the inventory that they were looking for, and they're starting to move up. And as a result, they're buying a 600, that's opening up a 400. Somebody buys that, opens up a 200, and that opens up for a first-time buyer. So it's stimulating the economy. Once again, we may not have the inventory that we had, but we're selling a lot more houses than we ever have. And there's still little, if any, entry-level construction going on, just larger homes and new rentals. I was in front of a group of people Thursday in Warren Township, and we talked about the new construction that's going on in Warren Township. Most of it is 1 acre, $1 million houses, 3,000 plus square foot. Those houses will be the first ones to sell when somebody's looking in that price point, because the guys that have been around for 20 years that need an update or a refresh are going to still be trying to get the same price, and these new ones are going to look like good buys. So they're going to come downhill. But it's not what people are looking for. People are looking for houses in the 5, 6, 7s in Warren and Watchung, and there's very little available over there. And when they do find them, I talk to them at open houses. They'll come to at 8 or 9. I'll say, whoa, really? This is 800,000. Yeah, and we are in Warren Township. Well, we're thinking 5 or 6. I'm saying we probably need to get over to Bridgewater, because although we have one pop up now and then, in effect, we don't have enough that you want to be doing your search here. There's continued confidence that the new Tax and Job Act will continue to produce the results, and the new tax rules appear to only affect the very high-end buyers. I said that a little earlier. The average age at marriage is now in the late 30s, up 7 years from where it was. It used to be 29. Now it's like 36. Families usually have one or two children due to the ease of not having children, and it's easier not to have children than it used to be. Take that for what it's worth. It's not a political comment. And it's more expensive to have children than it's ever been. In the Somerset County area, to a greater portion of the eastern part of Hunterdon County, it's going to cost you over $2,000 a month, more like $22 on the average, to send a child to daycare. So you have to earn $30,000 in order to send the child to school at $22,000. And when you have your second, now it's $40,000 a year, $4,000 a month, $48,000 a year to send a child to daycare. That's why people aren't having more children, plus the fact that they can choose not to have more children. 70% of all the houses in New Jersey do not have any children of school age. 70%. That means 7 out of 10 houses don't need a house the size that we're building houses at. Demand for larger housing's diminished, not only in New Jersey, but everywhere. I was up in Quebec, Canada, and they have the same thing going on. The demand for larger housing has diminished, and as a result, buyers are gravitating in areas closer to the city and are renting more times than buying. And as a result of that, they don't have as much discretionary income, because rentals cost more the closer you get to New York. And even getting a shirt clean costs more when you get closer to New York, as well as your cup of coffee. And you're not putting away the money that you might be putting away in order to buy a house eventually. So the American dream for a lot of people, even though 80% of them still think buying a house is part of it, may never be achieved. we are starting to see some of them break out and say, I don't want to live here anymore. I want to go where it's green and where the kids can play in a park. And then they find Somerset and Hunterdon County. Builders, because of restrictions in building code, are still think four-bedroom center hall colonials on an acre or more. And buyers are thinking smaller luxury high-rises closer to mass transportation and work and more in the east. It's truly a mismatch. We're building houses up here, and we're looking for houses down here, and there's no way to bring the two together because they're $400,000 in between. And once again, the majority of all housing last year was in rentals. So what does that mean? As we get to a point where we can start to build more entry-level housing and free market entry-level, not affordable housing, we're not going to need all those rentals we're building today. So that's an open question. I'm not going to try to answer it because I don't have a crystal ball. So we had a sales slump at the end of 2018, mostly from the two interest rate hikes. It appears that we're now entering the next phase, which is a phase of normality. Most people think it'll look weird because they don't remember what normal looked like. We're starting to see some warnings of economic slowdowns in late 2020. However, these warnings are not holding back sales activity. We might just see a few less sales and a few less interest points on price increases. The effect on housing is seen to be limited to curtailing the growth of price appreciation and not any loss in value. And I've got one fellow I listen to who says, you know, when you start to think it's going to slow down, it's like waiting for the light to turn red. If you wait long enough, it's going to turn red. If you keep going three times out of four, you're going to get through it. And this correction, when it happens, and I think it's happening a little already, will just be that, a correction, not a downturn, not prices, not houses that are overpriced and underwater. We're going to see a few less sales. We're going to see a little less appreciation. In general, homeowners are sitting with more equity than ever. 92% in New Jersey have positive equity. And because a lot of people were not able to sell their house over the last 10 years, they've gotten past the 10-year mark in their mortgage where they're paying a lot of money each month towards equity. When people turn around and find that they have a massive amount of equity in their house, it enables them to do certain things like either retire early, start the business, pay off other loans, and strategize with the new tax rules. The only downturn in that whole thing is the 6 o'clock news. I mean, all of this rhetoric that goes on in Washington is not encouraging. If and all you do is sit there and watch it from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock, you're probably going to go upstairs and not sleep very well. I heard somebody say, you know, there's not much you can do about it, and you really do want to know what's going on. So you should probably take about a half-hour dose. And I don't care which channel you're on. It's biased one way or the other. So you're going to have a half-hour of biased dose of news so you know what's going on. And move on. If nothing else, watch Jeopardy. See if somebody can turn over these numbers that these two contestants have done over the last few years. But watching the news does take its toll on consumer confidence. The over 400K mark holds steady, but diminishing slightly. Often when a 600 property comes on, it's comparing with a property that used to be 7 or 8. That's an issue, and that causes pressure on prices. Five-year forecasts see a 2 to 4% increase each of the next 4 or 5 years. Huge short of inventory, both Hunter and Somerset, and those popular price points exists. It's simple. We could sell more houses if we had more inventory. And we're starting to see small inventory increases over the last 6 months, and I think 2019 is going to be the best year we've had since the recession. 2018, prices rose an average of 3.5%. 2019, we're looking at 2 to 3% growth. Mortgage delinquency is normalizing. we're not going to see. People say, "What? Why won't we see this bubble happen again?" Well, one, we're not lending money like drunken sailors the way we were. Number two, we don't have the speculation in the market. Number three, even though we're seeing more money being put on credit cards in aggregate, it's less money per capita, and people are paying down their credit cards. We're in good shape on all for those three areas. So the economy is going to continue to prosper. How much and when it corrects, don't have a crystal ball. But every time we have a good run, it gets corrected. And sometimes that's done by the Fed changing the rate, trying to stop inflation, trying to encourage the market. We're not going to see prime rate go up at all the rest of the year. And as a matter of fact, we're hoping for a drop. House prices will rise by that 2 to 3%. While improving, supply is going to remain tight in those popular price points. Many new jobs seem to be resulting from the Tax and Jobs Act. For the first time in memory, U.S. is reporting more people than jobs. We've been doing that for the last 3 or 4 months, but boy, it's a good feeling. We now need to match the skills of the unemployed to the job openings that we've got. The affordability index shows that there's room for much more sales if we could have more inventory. Think of that. If we had all the inventory that we could possibly sell, we could probably be selling another 50 to 100% of houses that we're selling. We're just out of inventory. Commercial real estate's also doing really, really well. A lot of that is leased. And people in their homes over 10 years are, in effect, reaping the benefit of mortgages that are paying down on the equity. This information is presented to public service by Joe Peters of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. I took reasonable precautions for presenting the information. Please consult a professional sales agent and take no actions based on my opinions, gathered trends, and statistics. I assume no liability. I have to read that every week, so it's over. Let's just talk. We're in a market in Hunterdon County that lacks inventory at the low end. Same thing's happening in Somerset County. The problem we have in Hunterdon County is we don't have jobs in Hunterdon County where we can afford to live here and commute to New York. That's contradictory. We don't have jobs in Hunterdon County, so we have to commute to New York or in that general direction. And a lot of people just don't want to commute this far anymore, forever. So we have the same problem that Somerset County has. We just have it at a different level. Our demand is under 400K, and we have very little inventory. What's there and what comes on goes almost instantly. We do have sufficient inventory between 5 and 6, and once you get over there, we have an overabundance of inventory. In Somerset County, because it's more close to New York, the numbers just go up. The problems are the same. They have more and more inventory. And even though I'm telling you they're selling 10 houses or 20 houses over $1 million last month, I think the actual number was 26 houses over $1 million. I guarantee you if you get to $1.5 million, you're not selling a lot. It peters out. I've set vacant open houses in Warren and Watchung that have been vacant for a long time. And I haven't set one or two. I've set a dozen in the last year. So their high-end market is suffering just like our high-end market. The only difference is their high-end market is higher up. What do we do to correct the imbalance? Well, one is we've got to get some entry-level housing that's not affordable housing. I think that might happen once we have the affordable housing equivalents fulfilled. And we're seeing that in most of our towns. A lot of things have to be done by 2025. I don't see many people thinking much past that, which is only 6 years out. But we're trying to get all of that fulfilled so that we can build some free market housing. And then free market takes over. I'm not so sure we have land prices anymore where we can build $200,000 and $300,000 condos. But if we could at least build some 4 and 5s, we'd be in great shape. I also think that people with futuristic improvements will come back to Hunterdon County. It's a great place to live. Anyone who lives here for a reason. It's heaven. I just showed somebody from Indiana houses in Raritan Township last week, and my first words to him were, welcome to heaven, because that's what you're going to walk through for the next 3 or 4 hours. It is a great place to live. It is just not a great place to be looking for a job, because you're going to have to go to the east. In his case, he only had to go to Somerset, so this made perfect sense for him. But for somebody who had to go all the way to New York to find a job, it's not going to make sense for them. And they're going to wind up over to the far east in within 15 miles of New York City. Anyway, that's what's going on. My name is Joe Peters. I'm with Coldwell Banker Residential Real Estate. I cover all of Hunterdon. I live here in Hunterdon for the last 20 years in a Beaverbrook, but my office is over in Somerset County, and I do cover both counties, and I cover them rather well. If you'd like to talk about your particular situation as either a buyer or a seller, you'll find that if I'm not already talking to somebody, I'm probably going to pick up the phone when you call. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to talk to you. And I'm going to play my commercial one more time, and I'll see you again next week. Thank you.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
This has been Joe Peters. Next week, we're going to have Polly Anderson on. Polly is a master of helping women that are middle to a few years older find work or things to do in Hunterdon County and the surrounding areas. And I think her discussion on that, whether it be charity work or what kind of jobs are available, is going to be an amazing subject matter. Talk to you next week. Thank you for tuning in.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump says Thursday's Salute to America will feature planes, tanks, fireworks, and a few surprises. Speaking to reporters at the White House, Trump says America's military might will be on display for the 4th of July event on the National Mall. He also notes there will be flyovers by fighter jets, other planes, along with tanks stationed at various spots. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating Sunday morning's plane crash at Addison Airport just outside of Dallas, Texas, that claimed the lives of 10 people, including 2 children. NTSB Vice Chairman Bruce Landsberg discusses the efforts to review the entire voice recording.
A CVR group comprised of technical experts will convene in the near future at the NTSB headquarters in Washington, D.C. to review the entire cockpit voice recording and accident recording, and they will produce a written transcript.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The White House says the president is in a wait-and-see mode regarding Iran.
He's been incredibly patient and non-impulsive, really flying in the face of many people's irrational predictions about his leadership qualities, and Iran is the latest example of that.
That's counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, speaking earlier on Fox and Friends. Iran has begun enriching uranium past the levels allowed in the 2015 nuclear agreement. This comes after the White House walked away from the deal and reimposed sanctions on Iran. Chicago police are preparing for a traditionally violent 4th of July weekend. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson says they'll be focusing on policing high crime areas and downtown areas of the city.
You know, everyone's welcome to come enjoy the city, but we won't tolerate misbehavior. And we have some historical flashpoints around the city where we will be monitoring them on the 4th of July.
This past weekend, over 50 people in Chicago were shot, and Johnson says if you see something suspicious, to say something. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow